We are convened today for a couple of purposes, first of which is to have a confirmation hearing for Richard Rulin as a reappointment to the position of on the Atlantic Salmon Commission. Once we have had that public hearing, then we have some legislation that is pending, some language that we will hear, and also I think we're scheduled for a report from the subcommittee from this committee on groundfish recommendations that we may look to try to institute. And with that, that's our agenda for the day. Any comments from the committee? Seeing none, then let's introduce ourselves to the members of the public. I am State Senator Dennis Damon. I'm pleased to represent Senate District 28, 24 coastal communities and island communities in southern Hancock County, and one community, the island of Ivanhoe in Knox County. Pleased to be able to be the Senate co-chair of this committee. And I'll ask members of the committee to introduce themselves, starting at my far left with Representative Richardson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Good afternoon. My name is Wes Richardson. I represent District 49, which includes the towns of Cushing, Friendship, Union, and Warren.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Peggy Pendleton, and I am honored to represent District 128, which is part of Scarborough. And, Mr. Chair, we have perfect attendance.
Hi, I'm Rob Eaton. I represent District 34. That's the towns of Winter Harbor, Gouldsboro, Sullivan, Sorrento, Hancock, Lemoyne, Waltham, and the namesake of my good seatmate, Fletcher's Landing.
Mr. Landing.
Good afternoon, Mr. Landing. Good afternoon. Now you've thrown me all off, Senator, and I can't remember who I am. Good afternoon. I'm Ken Fletcher. I represent House District 54, which is Winslow and the southwest portion of Benton, and I will not tell you the story how the Fletchers got driven away from the landing. Thank you.
Good afternoon. I'm Representative Bruce McDonald. I live in Booth Bay. I represent the people of District 61, which consists of six coastal towns: Southport, Booth Bay, Booth Bay Harbor, Westport Island, Georgetown, and Arosic.
So when you threw me off too, Mr. Chairman. Good afternoon. I'm Lila Jane Percy. Oops, I'm sorry. I'm Representative John McDonough. I represent District, 127 in Scarborough.
Good afternoon. I'm State Representative Lila Jane Percy, District 64, Harpswell, Pittsburgh, and Coastal West Bath, and happily the House Chair of the Committee. Thank you for coming.
Dana Dow, Senator from Lincoln County, along the towns of Windsor, Washington, and Friendship.
Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Senator Lois Nomello, and I do have the honor of representing District 15, the beautiful lake communities of Holland and Gloucester and Durham and Auburn, which sits on the Androscoggin.
Good afternoon. I'm Representative Ed Masaryk. I represent District 47, which is the city of Rockland, and approximately, well, I don't know, it's about a half of the town of Owl's Head, but I don't know exactly if it's a full half or slightly less, but it's close to a half, which is neighbors Rockland, so, and that's on the Penobscot Bay.
Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Ian Emery, State Representative from District 32, which is seven communities in one unorganized township in Washington County. Thank you.
My name is Herb Adams. I represent District 119, which is part of the City of Portland.
Thank you, members of the committee, and indeed we are all here. All right. We are then, I'm going to bring the committee to the seriousness of the business, which is to have a public hearing for the purpose of a confirmation of Mr. Rulin. So this is a public hearing of the Joint Standing Committee on Marine Resources for the purposes of considering the nomination by the Governor of Richard P. Rulin of Brewer for reappointment to the Atlantic Salmon Commission. Under the law and the joint rules of the legislature, this committee is required to hold this public hearing and to recommend confirmation or denial of the nominee by majority vote of the committee members present and voting. As chairs of the committee, we will then send written notice of the committee's recommendations to the President of the Senate. The committee will hear testimony from and have an opportunity to question the governor or his representative, the nominee, and any other persons present who wish to speak for or against the nomination. At this time, the chair recognizes Mr. Bushi of the governor's office for the purpose of making a statement concerning this nomination. Welcome, sir.
Good afternoon, and happy Franco-American Day.
Yes, indeed.
Senator Damon, Representative Percy, and distinguished members of the Joint Standing Committee on Marine Resources. My name is Joe Bushi, and I am Director of Boards and Commissions for the Governor. It's my pleasure to be back before one of my absolute favorite committees to introduce Richard Ruland of Brewer for reappointment to the Atlantic Salmon Board. As I'm sure you know, the Atlantic Salmon Commission has the sole authority to introduce Atlantic salmon into inland waters other than commercial aquaculture facilities. The commission also may limit or prohibit the taking of salmon, may issue licenses for the taking of salmon, and may adopt rules establishing the time, place, and manner of Atlantic salmon fishing in all waters of the state. Commission can also conduct research, publish and disseminate information, plan, report, and implement programs necessary for the purposes of managing Atlantic salmon and its habitat. The commission is governed by a three-member board, which includes the Commissioner of Marine Resources, the Commissioner of Inland Fisheries and Wildlife, and one public member who must be knowledgeable on the subject of Atlantic salmon and its conservation. Mr. Ruland is nominated for that at-large public seat. Dick Ruland graduated from Bangor High School and went on to study at the University of Wisconsin, the American Dental Trade Association, and RITEC Institute. He served his country by joining Maine's Air Force National Guard and served from 1953 to 1959. He's had significant experience in the business sector as a sales manager for J.J. Crimmings Company, district manager for Bay Dental Supply Company, and in 1988 became the president and owner of Denpro Incorporated. Mr. Ruland also has a long demonstrated commitment to public service. He served as a city councilor and mayor for the city of Brewer, spent 10 years in Maine's House of Representatives, and 6 years in the Maine Senate. In addition to his years of experience in the business sector and the Maine legislature, Mr. Ruland has been actively involved in a number of community groups and activities, some which include Friends of the Penobscot River, the Pine Tree Chapter of the Friends of Penobscot River, the Penobscot Pollution Abatement Association, the County Conservation Club, Sportsmen's Alliance of Maine, and numerous other fishing, hunting, and sporting organizations. His dedication to the state of Maine, and coupled with over two decades of public service, and a lifelong love of Maine's wilderness, make Mr. Ruland a valuable contributor to the Salmon Commission. On behalf of Governor Baldacci, I'd like to present Richard P. Ruland of Brewer for reappointment to the Atlantic Salmon Commission's board and urge you to consider his nomination favorably.
Mr. Bushi, thank you very much, and thank you for bringing the nomination forward. The chair would ask any member of the committee if they have questions of Mr. Bushi at this time. Seeing none, thank you very much. It's now my pleasure to recognize Richard P. Ruland for the purpose of making a statement concerning this nomination. Welcome, sir.
Thank you, Senator Damon. Representative Percy, honorable members of the Marine Resources Committee, my name is Richard P. Ruland. Before I proceed, Mr. Chairman, a couple of points.
Yes.
I have fulfilled my legislative obligation. This committee was one of the very first committees I served on, and I served with joy. I enjoyed it. However, I do want to share one story with you. My first or second day I was on the committee, and I think every member on that committee was from a coastal community. And it happened to come out that I was from Brewer. And this person looked at me and said, how many lobsters do you have in Brewer? And but I never let that hold me back. So we move forward. And the other thing, it's always a pleasure to meet somebody who believes in keeping the legislature on time. I know that's got to be almost a full-time job. I remember that very well.
Indeed.
As I said, my name is Richard P. Ruland. I am the governor's nominee for reappointment to the Atlantic Salmon Commission. I was first appointed and served in April of 2004, and I found it an interesting position, sometimes very frustrating, but also challenging, and it has, I think, brought significant rewards that I felt in so doing. Maine is the only state in the nation to have existing native populations of Atlantic salmon. We can take great pride in that. We can have, I consider, great bragging rights from that. But with that comes a strong obligation to ensure that not only do we get to enjoy those, but future generations also need to have that enjoyment. So, and that's a part of the Atlantic Salmon Commission's job, is to ensure that that species of fish continue for future enjoyment, and hopefully we will be able to increase and enhance our population so that our grandchildren and their grandchildren can fish for them recreationally and more fully enjoy them thoroughly as we do today, more so than we do today. I would point out that the Atlantic Salmon Commission was formed in 1947 for those purposes. And, you know, it's done a good job. However, at one point, everybody thought, well, just throw the fish from a hatchery and throw them in the ocean, and they'll come back. And for a while, you know, that didn't work. Maybe you might get 2-3% back. But then things started to evolve in the ocean as well. And what we call that magic black box that's out there. And where at one time we were getting a 3-4% return, it's now down to 0.1% return. And something's drastically happening in the ocean. Our understanding of the problem has evolved over years. As I said, we now understand the need more so than ever for habitat improvements. And in attempting to further that, we have modified the commission so that now the full-time paid professional staff members are now a part of the Department of Marine Resources. Before this past year, it was a freestanding agency. It now comes under the oversight of the Marine Resources Committee legislatively, and that is for the full-time paid professional staff members, so that they can recognize the need, the interconnectivity, if you will, of alewives, tommy cod, smelt, rainbow smelt, the various diatomous fishes that use our rivers. Like, the, as an example, the smelt serve as a cover fish. They come in as the salmon smolts are backing out. And the many of the predators that presently feed on salmon smolts, because they're the only thing available, would have smelts to feed on. So it gets spaced out more. It gives us a little buffer, if you will, to get those fish out and give us a higher rate of survival. With that in mind, the professional staff was modified into a Bureau of Fisheries and Habitat, and who's directed, by the way, I'm just saying he's here this afternoon for other purposes, but however, the commission itself remains freestanding commission with the policy authority and responsibilities that go with that authority within the state of Maine for all policies involving the handling, conservation, enhancement of Atlantic salmon, both for today and for the future. So I think that pretty much sums up what I have to say to the committee. I'd be more than glad to answer any questions they may have.
Thank you, Mr. Rulin. Thank you for your presence here today. Also, thank you for, and it's duly noted, the gift that you have brought to the committee. You said early on in your remarks that one of your first committees that you served on was Marine Resources, and that you served with joy, and I was wondering if it was Henry Joy, but perhaps it wasn't, given that he's a little further inland.
Right. There are no lobsters in Crystal.
No, there aren't. Seriously, though, thank you for being here. And I have a question before I open it up to the rest of the committee. You made mention in your testimony of the fact that other diatomous fish, those fish that travel from the ocean to the inland areas and vice versa, whether they're anadromous or catadromous, serve sometimes as a protection, as a cover for salmon smolts, because the salmon smolts, as they're leaving the river, they're either mixed in with or underneath. You mentioned rainbow smelts, but it could be other diatomous fish as well. The importance of that, not only the importance of the interconnectedness of all of those species of fish that would use that river going to and from the sea.
On the east coast of Atlantic salmon, that is not as dramatic, but it also happens. And it happens to those fish that come in, alewives especially, where they transfer nutrients. I think a very good example is mussels. A lot of people are not aware of certain mussels actually come in and migrate into our freshwater rivers on the gills of alewives. And this mussel, as the alewife swims by, deposits their eggs on the gills of the alewife, and the alewife transfers those into fresh water, and that's where your lower estuarial freshwater mussels come from. That's how they get there. Mm. And so this connectivity, if you will, of the species and the nutrient loadings that they require happen that way. And the Atlantic salmon is just one of them. It's the poster boy, it's the glamour girl, it's whatever you want to call it, of river restoration and a sport fishery, a recreational fishery. But it also is an integral part of that whole process. And as we have found all too well, you can take and try to replenish Atlantic salmon with pure numbers by dumping them, raising them in a hatchery and dumping them into a river. But if you do that, most of them are going to be eaten by predators. You know, the river's just... they're not going to make it. So you have to have the interplay, that whole ecological tree, if you will, in existence.
Thank you, sir. Questions for Mr. Ruland. Representative Fletcher first, and then Representative Eaton.
And thank you, Mr. Chairman. I thought you were going to call me Representative Landing. I appreciate you being here, sir.
Thank you. Flowed into the Narragansett. And I could go there any time I wanted to. We would not fish it because the fish wasn't much larger than this part of the room right here. It was a springhole brook is what it was. And 20 or 30 full-size Atlantic salmon would spend the summer there, the hot weather, in that nice cold brook. Well, a May company went down there, bought the land, cut the trees down over that springhole, and warmed it up and then silted in. And that no longer is there. And that was a little sanctuary for those fish in the summertime. You can only insult them, that way for so long, and you're going to end up with what we've ended up with. We have sprays. People don't always pay enough attention to them. Now we're finding out that some of the pesticides that are used have a longer lasting effect. We found out now that some of them actually impact over a period of years the gill structure on a fish and its ability to change. Remember, the smolt has to go from freshwater environment to saltwater environment. That change they go through is a very very stressful time of growth for them. And these bipenal pesticides are actually impacting potentially their ability to make that transformation. So a lot of those things are happening. That's happened down east pretty much. I guess the simplest way, say in one statement, we've had a degraded habitat. And there it shows, certainly, in spades. Your other question is, are we following what other countries are doing? Yes, we are. What works well in Norway are, let's say Norway, use Norway as an example, probably the leaders. We observe it. They use, lime. They lime some of the rivers to change the acid rain problem. They've had mixed results. We, at one point, considered that here. We decided we'd wait and get a little more information, a little more evidence before we move forward. It would be an expensive program. And we're willing to do it if that has to be done. But we're not convinced that it's that effective yet. But we are watching them.
Yeah. Thank you. And Representative Eaton, I believe, is next.
Thank you, Mr. Ruland. This is fascinating. As a committee, I think I speak for us, we really enjoy when we have a chance to speak with people that are involved in these industries and shed a little light on all of these issues for us. And I'm kind of feeding off Representative Fletcher's questions I had to. And I saw a map, by the way. I have a little camp on Flanders Pond down east in Sullivan. And in 1952 on that map, the primary fish in my pond was salmon, which no longer exists there. It is everything but. How do you categorize some of the restoration efforts that are going on down east, for example, at salmon restoration? And are we, in fact, and also the interaction between what the state is able to do to provide assistance to that effort, and what the federal government is or isn't doing to help us provide assistance to the restoration efforts.
First of all, thank you very much for your question. We're going to ultimately be successful. We need close cooperation between the federal government and the state government. That's not always easy, by the way. But they do have the bigger pocketbook, and we do need their pocketbook, but also the heart's in the right place. Sometimes we may have a little difference on precisely the right solution or the right application of any solution. They are contributing significantly to the Atlantic Salmon Restoration Program within the state of Maine. A part of that program, especially as it comes to down east, gets back to the habitat thing, recognizing that we put all the hatchery rays, molts in you on, they're just like eaten by predators, not survive the trip to the ocean and so forth. You got to grow your own in the wild, healthy smolts. The way you're going to do that is by improving the habitat. I'm going to use one quick example. The old days, nobody thought anything about building a culvert on a road where a brook flowed through. And as things erode and so forth, a culvert comes from being even with the water to come this out of water. Those young salmon, when they're that young, they will have to migrate upstream to the coldest, clearest waters that they can. And they get there. How a little salmon like that going to get up over that culvert? We're now engaged in a process of removing and replacing those culverts. All of these things are going to take time. We do have our eye on the white bouncing ball, though, and we will continue to.
Thank you. Are there any other questions? Senator Dow and then Representative Percy.
Thank you, Mr. Rowland. I had the fortunate circumstances to be able to spend the last weekend, Saturday and Sunday, on Somerset Street in Brewer, listening to the joyous sound of bouncing basketballs at 8 o'clock in the morning. Just one of those pondering questions about what would I be doing this weekend if I wasn't doing that activity. But
I was welcome to Brewer.
I was wondering about some of the rivers in Maine, Sheepscots in my area. I know that there's salmon in there. What are some of the successful rivers, and what are some of the rivers in Maine that don't have